Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will commence from the bottom of Daf Tes Omid Beis. Before we begin the shiur itself, let us say a word of introduction. We find ourselves in the middle of a sugya that essentially began a few lines up by our bow tie marking, featuring the name Rebbe Zeira. On the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading that indicates that this sugya really goes till Daf Yud Omid Beis. There will be along the way three of these bowtie markings featured. One is here. You can see the next one is on Yud Omid Aleph, about the upper third of the page, noting Rava's name. And on Yud Omid Beis, you will see our third marking, the number 3. These markings are Mekuros Desmoil Posel Lekemitza. Or, in other words, you need to have yamin, you need to have the right hand used for the taking of the kemitza. In truth, the sources or sugyas that we will be dealing with, the sugya, which is really made up of a number of sub-sugyas, will essentially be dealing with a number of other topics as well, where we will insist on right-handedness. But as we go along the way, the issue of the kemitza being done in the right hand will figure time and time again. In our most recent drasha, namely at the end of Daf Tes Omid Beis, the Gemara had darshaned the word smolis that appeared in the parsha of the Metzora in Vayikra Yud Dalid. A person who finished his tzoras period brings several korbanos, one of which is the Osham Mitzora and the Lug Shemen Shel Mitzora. In the context of the Lug Shemen Shel Mitzora, the Pusuk referred to the Kohen pouring oil into his left hand and then making applications using his right hand onto the Mitzora. The presence of the left hand in this case appears twice in the Parsha of Mitzora Oni, first in the Parsha of Mitzora Oshir, and then in the Parsha of Mitzora Oni. These are all found in the Psukim that constitute this Parsha. It's Vayikra Yud Dalid, Psukim Yud through Lamed Beis, and we highly recommend going through those Psukim carefully. Let us now continue our Shiur at the second line from the bottom of Tes Omid Beis, in the middle of the line, Omar Lei Rabbi Yirmiyah le Rabbi Zeira. Al boihen yodo hayemonis v'al boihen yodo al boihen ragloi hayemonis. This is a posuk in the parsha of the Mitzora. Dichtiv, that is written in the Torah, lama li. What do I need this posuk for that's found in the case of the application of the oil in the parsha of the Mitzora Oshir? It says that the oil is placed on the thumb of his right hand and the thumb of his right foot. After all, if you're going to tell me that it's for the halach itself, what we call the gufei, that the oil is to be applied on those spots, that we would know from other psukim. The pasuk already refers to the application of the oil on the spot that the blood was applied. So once I know that the oil is placed on the spot that the blood was applied, and we have sources for the blood application on the thumbs of his right thumbs of hand and foot. What do I need the pasuk to tell me about the oil itself? The additional psukim, if you will, concerning the oil itself, as we just saw quoted in the Gemara, namely Al Boihin Yodo Hayimonis and Al Boihin Ragul Hayimonis. So the Gemara answers, I need the extra source Chad Lehachshir Tzdodin. One pasuk is needed to tell me that the And we should mention once again that we have two psukim when you're dealing with this topic. So one is needed, lahachshir tzdodin, to tell us that the oil, if it's applied to not only literally on top, but even next to, is okay, is all right. V'chad lifsol tzidei tzdodin. Tzidei tzdodin would be underneath the thumb or underneath the thumb of the hand or of the foot. That's, if it's underneath, that's called tzidei tzdodim, that's pasul. There is a pasuk that the Gemara wants to know what its role is. Al dam ha'asham v'al mokoim dam ha'asham l'may osa. The psukim here are a reference to a pasuk by the Mitzora Oshir that the oil is applied onto the dam of the Asham. And the second pasuk by the Mitzora Oni, it says, Al Mokoim Dam Asham, Lemai Osa. And the explanation of this question is, what do I need two psukim for? If you're telling me simply that the oil is placed on the spot that the dam was applied, placed, it's sufficient to have one pasuk. So the Gemara answers, Hani Tzrichi, I need them. Before we go further, Tosfos learns the question with a slightly different angle to it. At the top, Al Dam Ha'osham V'Al Mokoim Dam Ha'osham L'may Osu, Tosfos says, Pirush Delichtoiv Oy Idi V'Idi Al Mokoim Oy Idi V'Idi Al Dam. The fact that the Torah changes its expression arouses our curiosity. If the basic halacha is that the oil is placed on the spot that the blood was applied to, so say in both cases, in the Oshir and the Oni, either say Al Dam Ha'asham or say Al Mokoim Dam Ha'asham, either on the blood or on the place of the blood. Why is there a change in language? So the Gemara explains, I need both terms. E kasav rachmona al dam ha'asham. Had I just had that phrase, have amino, I would have thought isay in niskaneach lo. Isay means if the dam is there, then you apply the oil. If the dam is wiped off, then you don't apply the oil. Therefore, kasav rachmona al mokoim, on the spot that there was the blood, meaning that even if the blood is not there, it's been wiped off, you still apply the oil application. V'i kosav rachmona al mokoim, if the Torah had just written on the place that there had been the dam, havamino, then I would have thought dafka niskaneach, that when do you apply the oil? Only if the dam has been wiped off. But aval isay, if the dam is there, emo havi chatzitza, I would think that the blood serves as an interposition, blocking the contact of the oil with the mitzora's actual body. Komash malon, therefore, I need the pasuk of al dam to tell me that the blood is not a chatzitza, is not a blockage or interposition. We now encounter Rava, who raises a question. You'll notice that the question marking that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicates the length of the question. You'll see a kuf that's encircled indicating kasha, and a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question itself. The Gemara, Omar Rava, me'achar dechsiv, by the oil applications, it says, al dam ha'asham, ve'al mokoim dam ha'asham. Uksiva Yemonis bedam, and you see right hand in the context of the blood. The question is, alboihen yodo hayamonis, emphasizing the word yamonis, the alboihen ragloi hayamonis, dechsivi b'shemen demetzora oshir v'oni lomali. These seem to be extraneous. The idea of right-handedness for oil application is already understood from the fact that by the blood application, right-handedness, right hand, right foot, thumbs, was already indicated. I know that the shemen is placed on the spot that the dam was. So why is there a need to emphasize the yamonis, right-handedness, again by the oil application? Elo Omar Rava. Because of this kasha, Rava adopts a new approach. And before we go further, let's glance at the Rashi across from here. Elo Omar Rava, Leso, Rava does not hold from Lamai de Afka Kemitza de Smoil Pasul, that which we derive, that the taking of the handful of a meal offering using one's left hand is invalid. He does not derive that midrashes d'arbo'o smolis, from the appearance of the four smallest words that was featured at the bottom of Tes Amid Beis. D'im kain, because if you are to emphasize the word smolis, yamonis, the shemen, bein dashir bein de ani, then what are you going to do with the right-handed word that you see by the oil application, by the wealthy mitzora and the impoverished mitzora? Well, lomali, ella, yamonis de shemen de ashir lehahi drosha asya. Rather, the right-handedness, in the case of the shemen, ashir, will be for the next drasha. So Rava, at this point then, we will see a new approach to the issue of which hand is used for the kemitza. Up till now, it was derived from a type of diuk, coming off the extraneous or extra words smolis, meaning that this is what we saw on Tes Amid Beis, that smolis is good for the oil procedure, but not for anything else, and namely, not for the kemitza. Therefore, on Tes Amid Beis, using the smallest word, we derived that right-handedness is needed for kemitza. Rava introduces a new approach. Elo Omar Rava, yad yad lekemitza. He has a gezera shava from the word yad, that will teach that the taking of the handful of a meal offering must be done with the right hand. Rashi explains how this works. You have, in the case of the Mitzora Oshir, with regard to the applications that we've discussed till now, it says Yodoi Hayamonis. So in that posuk by the Mitzora oil application, you have the word yodoi hayamonis. So just like by the mitzora, you have right-handedness and you also have the word yad, you also have the word yad in the context of the taking of the handful of a meal offering. And Rashi suggests what that pasuk may be. In fact, in the Rashi itself, there is the Rashi original girsa and an alternative girsa that is provided on the side of the Gemara. But without getting into that level of technicality, suffice it to say that according to Rava, the Yamonis by the Mitzora Oshir has as its role proving that kemitza is done by the right hand, which in effect is the second source then in this long sugya as to how I know right-handedness for kemitza. Now we go on to some other examples or other drushes of Rava, and he goes on and says, regel, regel, lechalitza. I use a regel gezera shava that you find by the mitzora ashir, it says regel hayamonis, and you find by the context of the shoe removal, in the case of the yavama chalitza ceremony, the word regel without direction, which left or right. So through this gezera shava of regel, regel, from mitzora ashir, I learn that the regel expression by the chalitza, by the shoe removal in the Yavama story, is also dealing with the right foot. Oizen, oizen, liritzia. And once and a third limud, the word ozen, ear, appears in the case of the mitzora, of the oil application of the mitzora ashir, and that word is used since, as Rashi points out, I don't really need it for the topic itself of the Mitzorah. Therefore, it's available for a Gzeira Shava concerning the halacha of Ritzia. Ritzia is the piercing of the ear of an Eved Ivri that wants to continue working for his master until the Yovel year. So there's an ear piercing that takes place. And from this, Oizen, by Mitzorah, which is right ear, we learned that the right ear is that which is pierced in the case of the Eved Ivri, the Jewish worker or slave that wants to continue working until the Yovel, until the Jubilee year. So the ear piercing, meaning the right ear is that which is bored, is learned from this Gezeirah Shav of Oizen Oizen from Mitzorah. At this point, the Gemara's curiosity is aroused. Now that Rava told us that he doesn't learn right-handedness from the extra words smolis, so what does Rava do with smolis that was featured on Tes Amid Beis? You can see with our markings, we have double underlined this word smolis, and in the outside margin under our nosei mivne heading, the word smolis is featured. Less lay, we've written in on the side there, less lay de Rava of Drosha de Liel shall dalit smolis kedei de lala meyed yamin. Rava doesn't hold of the four smolis that we saw darshaned on Tesamid Beis to derive right-handedness in Kain. Ma dorish bei Rava me'amilo smolis. So what does Rava do with the word smolis? Let us say that we're not going to darshan all four words smolis because some of them are needed already legufe, they're already used up, so to speak. But there are extra smolis words that we want to derive, we want to figure. So the Gemara asks, smolis de oshir lamai osin. Rashi points out the second smolis word by the oshir, what is its role? Omar of Shishabred Rav Idi, lifsoil yamin de kohen b'mitzora. We spoke about the oil applications involving the mitzora. The oil is, the kohen takes the lug, shemen shel mitzora, pours some of the oil into his left hand, and then using his right hand, he makes the applications onto the mitzora client. So I need the word smolis to exclude the possibility of the Kohen pouring the oil into his right hand and then making the applications using his left hand. So we're using smolis to exclude right hand of the Kohen during the Shemen application. Shelo toimat, one should not say the following. Uma b'mokoyim sheloi nisrapso smoil nisrapso yamin. In other places where smoil, where left-handedness is not acceptable, and right-handedness is acceptable, is the only way. B'mokoyim shenisrabsa smoil, in a place that smoil is acceptable, for example, in the case of the mitzora applications, eino din shenisrabsa yamin. Certainly, by the mitzora, yamin should be acceptable. So all of this, one should not say. And we know that from the word smolis. You'll notice that we used a singular quotation marks for the last three lines after the expression shalot tomar, and following shalot tomar, we had a colon which indicates, don't say all of this. This would have been logic that would have led me to think that yamin is acceptable by the mitzora We're telling you the word smolas precludes this. Continuing, the idach smolas. Now we're looking at the smolas by the mitzora oni, the extra smolas that's there. That's going to be a question. And another question, viyad viregel yimonis de oni lemai osa. Above we saw Rava darshaning yad of Mitzor Oshir and Regel of Mitzor Oshir for the purposes of teaching me Gezero Shavas to other topics, namely to Kamitza and Chalitza. What about the Yad and Regel Yemonis of the Mitzor Oni? What does that teach? Lamai Osa. So the Gemara is going to tell you, it really doesn't, they don't teach me anything. I don't have to discover or find new Gezero Shavas for these words. Because there is a rule that says that when you have a parsha in the Torah that's written and seemingly doubled, we have seeming extra expressions, the Torah will often repeat things only because some other aspect of the repeated section has some novel item or novel point of law in it. And once there is one novel point of law, that justifies the repetition of other points. So the Gemara answers, as far as these extra expressions that we can't account for right now, we answer L'chadetona debei Rabbi Shmuel, based on, if we will understand it based on his teaching, the teaching of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, called Parsha Shenemra V'Nishneis, any Parsha that's stated and repeated, Lo Nishneis Ela Bishvil Dovar Shenishadesh Ba. It's repeated only because there was some one novel point in the repeated section. So we had stated the details in the case of the Mitzora Oshir. They did not have to be repeated in the case of the Mitzora Oni. So why were they repeated? The answer is because in the Parsha of Mitzora Oni there is a point of novelty, of new information that the Torah conveys. And that is that since a person's income level is limited, he has the option of bringing what we call oil of yored, meaning a fluctuating price korban. And we will explain. As opposed to the Mitzora Oshir, a man who is of means, he brings three animals. He brings the Osham, and Ola and Achatos. With regard to the Oni, and this is the Chidush of the Torah, since his income level is reduced, he's limited, although he brings the animal Osham, when it comes to the Chatas and Ola, he brings birds instead, bird offerings, which are much less expensive than the sheep that he otherwise would have had to bring. Continuing in the Gemara. Before actually reading the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin. We have a nosei, and an indication that this goes to Amud Beis. Limud shel Reish Lakish. Mosai yoidim shiyamin ma'akev. Once again, as we've been discussing till now, we've been dealing with the issue of right and left. So Reish Lakish also gets into this discussion and says, from where do we know that the right is binding? Droshasoi mifuseses al hamilim etzpa ukehuna shemofiim beposuk shel mitzora oshir. We will see his drasha is based on the words etzpa and kehuna, and the jumping off point for his drasha is a posuk in the parsha of Mitzora Oshir, Vayikra Perek Yudalit Posuk Tezayin. The Gemara quotes this posuk where it says, V'toval HaKoyin Es Etzbo HaYimonis. This is a reference to the Kohen dipping his finger into his right finger into the material for application on the Mitzora client. So it says there in Posuk Tezayin, the Kohen, and it uses the word finger, immerses his finger, HaYimonis. Now in the Gemara, Omar Rabba Barachanum Reish Lakish. Wherever you see the expression etzba and kahuna, it means right hand, even though right hand in those other sections is not actually spelled out. At this point, the Gemara thinks etzba kahuna ba'inan, that in order to learn yemonis, you need to have both words. Kidichtiv, based on the pasuk that says, "V'lokach hakoyin midam achatos be'etzba'o," the Kohen takes the blood of the Chatos for the altar applications, or let us say simply for the Chatos blood applications, because in the case of the Chatos blood, there is more to say on the topic than just this, but we'll speak in general terms. For the Chatos blood applications, he immerses his finger in the blood. V'gomar mimetzora dichtiv v'toval hakayin es etzbo'o hayemonis. Notice with the markings, we've dashed underlined the words hakayin and etzbo'o. You have that by the chatos and by the mitzora. And in addition to the words hakayin etzbo'o that you have by the mitzora, you also have the word hayemonis. So since by the mitzora, it's very clear that you're dealing with the right, so too by the other topic, in this case, the topic being the Chatos blood application. We might point out, just for the sake of detail and accuracy, the immersion of the blood when it comes to the Chatos. The pasuk is in the context of the chatos nasi, namely a situation where the king sins. His chatos is featured in Vayikra Perek Dalet pasuk Chof Hei, and the pasuk the Gemara cites is a reference to the blood applications on the corners of the mizbeach. So at this point in the Gemara, the feeling is that Reb Shimon ben Lakish requires etzba and kahuna together, and then I understand you need to have right-handedness. Before going further in the Gemara, we now encounter a new geometric form as far as this sugya is concerned. We have a volcano shape, or trapezoid, and the outside margin you'll notice under our Mivneh heading, which indicates until Amud Beis, Ad Amud Beis, it means that you'll see these forms appearing all the way down the Amud Beis as well. With the narrow part facing upwards, that represents kushios, questions. With the narrow part facing downwards, tshuvos, responses. So we have a long back and forth discussion that starts at this point. Once again, the jumping off point is that, or the assumption is that Reish Lakish, in order to learn that right is binding, you need both expressions. The Gemara asks, "V'hare kmitza." When it comes to the taking of the handful of a meal offering, "Delok siva bo elo kahuna," there you have only the word kohen. You don't have the word etzba. "Utnan komatz b'smoil posel." And our Mishnah teaches that if kmitza was done using the left hand, it's invalid. So you see that rightness is binding by the kmitza, even though you don't have both expressions. Answer, Omar Rava, oi etzba, oi kahuna. Not like we thought that you need both expressions, but rather one is enough. One expression is enough to create the right being binding. So in the case of the kmitza, where I have the expression kahuna, that makes right binding. Omale Abaye Vahare, he raises a question. Hare hoylochas evorim lekevesh, dichtiv behu kahuna. You have the bringing of the limbs of an animal to the altar of the Mizbeach. And in that context, the word kohen appears. Dichtiv ha'ikriv ha'kohen es ha'kol ha'mizbecho. We've dashed underlined the word ha'kohen. The omamar, Zu hoylochas evorim lekevesh, and it has been explained that this pasuk of hikriv hakayin es hakol is a reference to the carrying of the limbs of a sacrifice to the altar. Utnan, and lo and behold, you see haregel shel yamin b'smoil ubeis oira lachutz. You see the carrying of the right leg of the animal b'smoil, meaning the kohen is carrying it in his left hand. Ubeis oira lachutz. This is a reference to the fact that the limb has been severed, the part that has been cut from the animal is not facing the outside, but rather the skin is facing the outside, because having the cut part where all the internal veins and organs are visible, to have that facing outwards to the public would be unacceptable. So we want the or the skin part to be facing outside. We've emphasized with our markings the word besmoil. We've dashed underlined that, showing that even though you have the word kohen or kahuna, you have the word hakohen here, yet it's done using the left. And you just got finished saying, Rava just got finished saying a moment before that, with the word kahuna alone, right is binding. The Gemara answers, Ki amrinon oy esbo kahuna, when is it that this rule applies of where the word etzba or kahuna appears and indicates you must use right? That's bedavar makiv kapora. That's when you're dealing with a procedure of sacrificial activity without which the korban would not be acceptable. However, hoylocha sevorim is a type of activity that is expendable. Without getting into any details, let us simply say that since it's not ma'akev kapora, means atonement, is not dependent on this act of hoylocha, there is greater latitude, and we don't say that rightness is restricted or is binding, even though in the case of halacha you do have the word kohen. Question, v'harei kabbalah, the receipt of the blood after the animal is slaughtered, after the sacrifice is slaughtered, dover ha'makiv kaporahu, kabbalah sadam is an inexpendable a process in the korban procedure, uksiv ba kahuna, and the word kahuna appears in the context of kabbalah sadam, zu kabbalah sadam. It's explained that this pasuk that says v'hikrivu b'nei aron es hadam is a reference to the receipt of the blood. Utnan, and the following source, and we're going to emphasize Rabbi Shimon, who appears in the second part of this brief source. The source says kibul b'smoil pasal Rabbi Shimon machshir. Here you have Rabbi Shimon saying that if the kohen who's receiving the blood is holding the receiving kli, the receiving vessel, in his left hand, it's okay, it's kosher. Now what do we have? We have Kabbalah Sadam, which is a Dover HaMa'akev Kapora, is a binding activity. You've got the word Kohen, and we've dashed underlined the word HaKohanim, indicating that's the key word here. And we see you have the presence of the word Kohanim in a Dover HaMa'akev Kapora, and yet Rabbi Shimon, notice we've dashed underlined Machshir, he allows it. The Gemara responds, are you asking on the principle based on Rabbi Shimon's opinion? The Rabbi Shimon Kwamers, are you asking based on him? Rabbi Shimon Tarti Boi. Rabbi Shimon requires two expressions to create rightness. In other words, for rightness to be binding, you'd have to have etzba and kahuna. And since in the case of Kabbalah Sadam, you don't have both expressions, therefore, the left is considered kosher. Question, Umi Boi Rabbi Shimon Tarti, does Rabbi Shimon in fact require both expressions in order to create right being binding? Vahatanya, you have the following source. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Komokum Shinemro Yad Eino Elo Yamin. Etzba Eino Elo Yamin. Wherever you see the expression yad or the expression etzba, now we've dashed underlined etzba because this is the focus of our discussion. Here you have one word, etzba, and we've also dashed underlined eino elo yamin. So how can you answer that? Rabbi Shimon says rightness is binding only when you have both expressions. Here Rabbi Shimon, which we should point out, we've dashed underlined his name as well. We're trying to, using the dash underlines, bring out the main point. Here you have Rabbi Shimon holding that with the presence of one word, etzba, you have right being binding. So the Gemara answers, etzba lo bayakuna. In order for etzba to be effective in making rightness binding, in truth, it doesn't need a second expression or the second expression of kahuna. However, kahuna bayo etzba. In order for kahuna to be effective, if you will, in creating the restriction to the right, kahuna alone won't be sufficient. It needs the word etzba as well. Therefore, in the case of Kabbalah Sadam, where you had only the word Kehuna, you had the word HaKohanim in the Pasuk, rightness is not binding. The Gemara asks, well, if all you need to create that, to create rightness being binding, is the word Etzba, so what role does Kehuna appear, play over here? Ela Kohen Lomali. What does the word Kohen teach me in the case of Kabbalah Sadam, for example? Answer, Bekihuno. Kihuno means while wearing Big Dekuna. In other words, while he's doing the avoda, the process of Kabbalah Sadam, he must be wearing his official Kohen garments. There are four official Kohen headyot garments that the Torah describes at great length in Sefer Shmois. So he must be wearing these garments when doing Kabbalah. Question. Vehare Zrika, the lo kosav bei elo kahuna, Zrika Sadam, which is something that's ma'akev kapora, and you have just the word kahuna, and it says, utnan zorak besmoil posel, velo polig Rabbi Shimon, you have Zrika Sadam, where the word Kohen appears, and it says that if Zrika is done using the left hand, it's unacceptable. And Rabbi Shimon is silent, seemingly indicating that Rabbi Shimon agrees that Zrika besmoil is posel. And here you have only the word Kahuna, but we just got finished saying that Kahuna alone does not create, does not exclude smoil. Kahuna only combined with the word etzba would be effective. But here you have just the word Kahuna, and we are excluding smoil, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Om Rabbi Polig Bebraisa. In fact, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. His disagreement didn't appear here in this Tanaic source, but it appears in another source, in a Braisa, the Sanya. The source says, Kibel Besmo Posel, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Receipt of blood using the left hand, we see the Machlokas Tanoim, and Zorak Besmo Posel, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. What we've done is, using the dashed underlines, featured the main expression, the main point of bringing this source. You have Zrika Besmoil, Rabbi Shimon is Machshir. And why is he going to be Machshir, the sprinkling of the blood using the left hand? Because only the word Kahuna appears in the case of Zrika Sadam. V'ela ha di Omar Rova Yad Yad L'kemitza Lomali. At this point, the Gemara is going to be focusing on Shitas HaRabbonan, not Rabbi Shimon, even though in the last few lines of Gemara we were preoccupied with Rabbi Shimon, we go back to the Rabbonan. According to what we've learned till now, when you see Shitas HaRabbonan, what creates rightness? The fact that the topic at hand might have the word Kohen in it. We see Kahuna, according to the Rabbanan, you know rightness is binding. If that be the case, so what do I need the Gzera Shava of Yad Yad to teach me about Kemitza? Let's read that question again. The Eloha, the Amar Rava, Yad Yad, L'Kemitza, Lomali. You'll notice, of course, that Rava had introduced this idea on Omen Aleph, and if you take advantage of our markings, you'll see we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating where this quote is coming from. You'll see an arrow here indicating to look at Omen Aleph, and on Omid Aleph, there's an arrow which tells you that it's relevant, it's needed for the Gemara on Omid Beis. So, at this point, if I know that in the context of Kemitza, you've got the word Kohen, the Pasuk says, V'komatz ha-Kohen, and where you see the word either Etzba or Kahuna, we learn Yamin. So I know from the presence of the word HaKohen, I know rightness. So what do I need the Gzera Shav of Yad Yad for, which originally told us rightness, according to Rava? The answer is I need both. I need two sources. Chad L'Koimetz V'Chad L'Kiddush Koimetz. One source is the actual taking of the handful, and the second source is to tell me that the handful is placed into the second service vessel using his right hand. While putting it into the second vessel, must do that while holding the kmitza in his right hand. The Gemara now starts a long question. And you can see we have this indicated through a long question marker to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You see a little kuf in a volcano shape with the narrow part facing upwards, indicating that as far as this sugya is concerned, this represents a question. The question starts. It says, Ula Rebbe Shimon, de lo boi kiddush kometz. According to Rebbe Shimon, who says that the kmitza, once the handful is taken from a meal offering, it doesn't need to be placed in a second service vessel. The fact that it comes from an original service vessel is sufficient for creating the necessary sanctity, and you simply carry it in your hand to the mizbeach and put it in the fire. So according to Rebbe Shimon, that does not require... excuse me, that does not require the Kiddush Kometz, then that's going to be a point of question, because we just got finished saying that Kahuna was needed to teach me the Halach of Kiddush Kometz. That's true according to the Rabbanan, but according to Rabbi Shimon, that doesn't require Kiddush Kometz to begin with. What is Kohen going to be doing? We'll have to say that a little more accurately. Let's say that again. We just mentioned that Rava's drosha of Yad Yad Lekemitza was needed, amongst other things, was needed for Kiddush Kometz. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that doesn't require Kiddush Kometz. And Ulamad Yomar Nami Deboi Kiddush Kometz the Rabbi Shimon. But according, and there's another opinion that says that Rabbi Shimon does require Kiddush Kometz. Ubesmol achshuri michshar, but with regard to Kiddush Kometz, left hand is kosher. So yad yad derava lomali. What do I need the yad yad teaching? That all the gezerah shava that we saw on Omer Aleph for that teaches me right handedness. Ili kmitza gufa aliba de Rabbi Shimon. If it's for the basic kmitza, the initial taking of the handful, that must be done by the right hand, according to Rabbi Shimon. Well, mi de Rabbi Yehuda bray de Rabbi Chiyon afka. In fact, we have a new source for that, and this is why we've indicated here a number three. You notice the bow tie form. And this constitutes a third source that we haven't seen till now for right-handedness. And we're talking right now about the kmitza needing to be taken by the right hand. So the Gemara says, as far as kmitza itself, I don't need yad yad for that. That I can learn from the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda Bray de Rabbi Chia. The Om Rabbi Yehuda Bray de Rabbi Chia, my time of the Rabbi Shimon. What is the reason for Rabbi Shimon? That we'll see momentarily. What's the reason for Rabbi Shimon that the taking of the kmitza shall be done by the right hand? The pasuk in the context of the korban mincha, the meal offering, parallels it to a chatos and to an osham, two animal sacrifices. From this we learn. When you come to the mincha sacrifice and you are going to use your right and you're going to take the actual kmitza, that's boli ovdo biyad, the taking of the actual kmitza, then you will use your right hand like you use right hand for the korban chatos, and for the korban chatos that itself has its own source, and there we know you need to use right hand. The Rashi quotes that as far as the chatos is concerned, there we have the words etzba and kahuna, and the pasuk is quoted in the Rashi, veloka hakoin midam hachatos be'etzba'o. There I know you need right-handedness. Therefore, the mincha, which is compared to the chatos,
for the actual handful taking, the kamitza taking, you need to use your right hand. And really, it's at this point that it's that we want to emphasize that from the Hekish Techatos we learn right hand for kamitza and not from Rava. And Rava we had labeled earlier in our markings as number two, then hence we call Rabbi Yehuda Breider Rabbi Chiya number three. He continues with his teaching and says, Bali Oivdo Bekli, when you're dealing with a korban mincha and you're going to involve a vessel, and this is a reference to the kiddush kemetz bekli, the sanctification of the handful in a second service vessel, at that point you use your left hand. That's boli ovdo besmoil ka'asham. There you use your left hand. We have a little note in the in our markings to look at Rashi where you see the star. We already emphasized this point, but it's worth seeing it in the source itself. In the Rashi, three lines from the bottom, we emphasize here, Alma mida akshi l'chatos, from the fact that the korban mincha is compared to the chatos, me'ocha nafka d'chol avodis mincha nasus biyad, all mincha activities that are done by hand, yamin bo'inan, you use your right hand, and here we're referring to the taking of the kmitza, the yad yad lomali. So what do I need? The second source that we had in our overall markings, the Roman numeral number two source for. What is that going to teach me? The Gemara answers, Lo nitzricha elo lekoimetz de minchas chote. I need yad yad for the halacha concerning the taking of the handful, the initial kmitza of a sin meal offering. Why do I need an additional source to tell me that the sin meal offering is done, must be done with the right hand? More explains. And you should note, by the way, that this is a long answer, and you can see that by the long answer marking that appears to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, the tuf that's enclosed in the inverted volcano marking and vertical dashed line that follows. So the Gemara explains that I need the yad yad source for right handedness in the case of the meal sin offering. Since Rabbi Shimon on a previous occasion has said, Shelo yehe korbano mehudar, the Minchas Chote does not have oil and Lavona spice added to it, because we don't want the sinner's meal offering to be honorable, to be glorified. So since we see a compromise in the case of a sinner's meal offering, as opposed to other standard meal offerings, I would have thought Tikomitz lo nami besmol tiskasher. When the handful is taken, in the case of the sinner's meal offering, done, taken with his left hand, that would also be okay. It would represent the form of compromise from our general high standards. Komash malon, the yad yad, comes to teach me that even though in the case of the Shemen and Lavona, we compromise, not in the case of the actual taking of the handful, that even though we're dealing with a sinner's meal offering, it must be done by the right hand only. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.